This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, where Paul makes this awesome statement. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All through my ministry, I've had people coming to me seeking to know if a Christian can engage in certain activities, if as a Christian you can do certain things. And so often the issue is, how much of the world can I partake in and still be a Christian? How close to the fence can I live? In this verse, Paul speaks of the Christian liberty, but then he also shows us the limitations to Christian liberty. It isn't always drawing the keen line between what is right and what is wrong for a Christian to do. That seems to be the endeavor of so many people. They want to draw that keen line. Is it wrong to do this? So often, a person can argue concerning the thing that they're doing, and they can show where it isn't wrong. And they can prove, well, it's not wrong. And it is true, there are a lot of things that you can do that are not going to send you to hell. But the issue isn't, is it right or is it wrong? The issue is, does it impede your progress? The issue is, does it bring you under its power? Or does it build you up in Jesus Christ? Paul said, all things are lawful for me. Now be careful that you don't take that beyond the context, because Paul has just given a list of things that are not lawful. If a person is doing these things, Paul declares very plainly that they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Beginning with verse 9, Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those terms both refer to homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. When Paul said all things are lawful for me, he's not making a reference to this listing that he is just giving. He is not making a reference really to the Ten Commandments. He's not saying that I can do anything I please. Fornication, adultery, or forever, and still be a child. That's not what Paul is saying. He's warning you that if you do these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived about this. The only one who can really say all things are lawful for me are those persons who have come to Jesus Christ and they have purposed to live so that their lives might be totally pleasing to him. And a person whose life is to be totally pleasing to Jesus Christ lives by a higher standard than even the law demands. You may talk about certain things, and sure, I can do them, but I won't because I don't want to. I don't need to. When Paul was writing to the Roman church, he spoke of the fact that he would not eat meat as long as the world stood if it caused a weaker brother to stumble. I have the liberty, he said, to do it. I can eat ham if I want. But if it causes a weaker brother to stumble, I'll not eat it as long as the world stands. So here Paul tells to us, what are the limits to Christian liberty? All things are lawful. I don't know of any statement in any philosophical ethic that can match that. As far as total liberty is concerned, all things are lawful for me. Then how do I judge the things that I do and don't do? Paul said, all things are not expedient. Now, writing to the Philippians, Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He is using a symbolism from running in a race. I'm pressing towards the mark, towards the goal. I want the prize, this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He exhorted, they that run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize. So run that you might obtain. In other words, Paul is saying, run to win. Give it all you've got. I'm in this race to win. And thus, I do not want to be encumbered with anything that would impede my progress toward the goal. If you were running in the Olympics, say the 100-meter race, and you came into the finals, surely you would not want to walk up to the blocks to get set to run with heavy hiking boots on and a backpack on your back. Now, I don't think the Olympics have any rules on what kind of shoes you wear when you broad jump or do the hurdles or whatever. There's probably no rules that say you can't wear heavy hiking boots or you can't wear cowboy boots. You could probably do that if you wanted. But I'll guarantee you'll never win. You'll come in last. Oh, you might finish, but way back in the pack. Because you've been encumbered by these things. They have impeded your abilities to win the race. And if it is your desire to win the race, then wisdom dictates that you get rid of those things that would hinder or impede your pursuit of your goal. In the book of Hebrews, we are exhorted, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. He's talking again about racing. We're going to run this race. So let's lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, that we might run this race with patience as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Running in the race, you want the lightest shoes possible. You want the kind of material that will not create wind resistance. Every little, small aspect is important if you're going to win this race. And we're running in a race. And it is my desire to win. The writer to Hebrews, as he tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, says, you have not yet resisted unto blood in your struggle against sin. In other words, you haven't really made a big effort to get rid of sin in your life. You haven't really fought with it. You haven't yet resisted unto blood against that besetting sin in your life. We often find ourselves doing things that impede our progress towards the goal. All things are lawful for me, Paul said, but all things are not expedient. They're not necessary. They can be an impediment. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When a person can say, all things are lawful for me, I don't know of any declaration that a person can make that speaks of a greater liberty. And I am one who happens to enjoy my freedom in Christ. He has set me free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of my flesh. And how I love that freedom that I have in Jesus Christ. And I can say all things are lawful for me. Jesus has set me free. But writing to the Romans, Paul said, happy is the man whose heart does not condemn him in the things that he allows. It is a thrill, it's a joy to be able to say, yes, I've been set free. All things are lawful for me. Now, I've been asked, is it all right to have some beer with my pizza? What is pizza without beer? Let me ask you, is it possible to come under the influence by drinking beer? That is it possible that it can in any wise impair your judgment? Would you be apt to do things after a few beers that you wouldn't normally do if you had your full faculties? If it can bring you under its influence or under its power, then though it may not send you to hell, though it may not be some horrible, heinous sin, yet you are sacrificing this glorious liberty that you have in Christ. And you're being brought under its influence. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Because the moment I come under the influence or the power of that alcohol, then I'm no longer free. Someone has said, well, as a Christian, can I smoke cigarettes? I find that it just sort of calms me down. Let me ask you this. Can you become addicted to smoking cigarettes? Can it so get a hold on your life that you've just got to have another cigarette? Like Phil Harris used to sing, when I stand at the Golden Gate, I'll tell Peter, you just got to wait because I got to have another cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff it. If you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you just hate to make him wait, but you got to have another cigarette. Is that so? You see, if you become addicted, if it is something that can bring you under its power, where it forms a strong addiction, then you're no longer free. You're no longer at liberty. If you really value the liberty and the freedom that you have in Christ, then you don't want to exercise that liberty in such a way as it would bring you into bondage. So the cigarette, sure, it's not going to send you to hell. But it can bring you under its power. And thus, wisdom says, look, I love my freedom. I don't want to be a slave to anything. And thus, I will not exercise that freedom in things that could bring me under their influence or under their power. You see, we're not really looking at things that are right or wrong right now. We are looking at things that can rob you of your liberty. All things are lawful for me, Paul said, but all things edify not. Now, this one you have to turn to chapter 10, verse 23, where Paul repeats, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And then he adds, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. The word edify means to build up. And in the Christian sense, it means to be built up into the image of Jesus Christ. And that is the goal of every true child of God, to be like Jesus. And it is God's eternal, predetermined purpose to conform you into the image of His Son. That's God's desire for you, that you might be like Jesus. In Romans 8:29, we read, for whom God did foreknow, He also did predestinate that they might be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's desire for you, that you might be like His Son. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he said, but we all with open face, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory by His Spirit that dwells in us. My desire, my prayer, is that I might be like Jesus. God is like a sculptor. He's molding and shaping our lives. Jesus Christ is the model that He is using, and He is seeking to make you in the likeness of the model. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. And I love that, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love that phrase. That's what God is doing in me. That's what God is desiring to do in me, is to make me just like His Son, that the world might know Him as they see us who have been conformed into the image of Jesus. So I can do things. They're not wrong. They're not going to send me to hell. They're allowable. But they don't really build me up in Jesus. In fact, some things have a way of even sort of drawing me away from Him rather than closer to Him. We just opened a new semester in our Bible college. And as I talked to the students during the orientation session and told them that we were going to be laying down a few rules for them, we don't like to. We don't like to make rules, and if all of you were perfect, we wouldn't have to make rules. Rules and laws are for the lawless. The righteous man doesn't need any laws. He does the right thing. but you've got to make the laws for the lawless. And laws are no problem to you if you're doing the right thing. It's only because you desire to do the wrong thing that laws become a real problem. And so, unfortunately, it's necessary to lay down a few rules for the kids. And if you, you know, start living right, we can remove the rules. We won't need them anymore. If you do other things that are detrimental, then we'll have to make more rules that will cover those things too. So I said, after today, I don't want to see any earrings in the noses of the boys or girls, nor do I want to see earrings through your eyebrows or on your tongues or on your navels. Not that they're wrong, not that they're going to send you to hell. It's a fad now. But I can't picture Jesus with a ring through his eyebrow. And if you are preparing for the ministry, you'll find that an earring in your tongue will be a big impediment to your sharing the gospel. So you might as well get used to not having one now. Now, you see, these things are trite little things. They're not really sinful. They're not horrible, heinous sins that God is going to say, to hell with you, you know, because you've got an earring on your tongue. It's not going to keep you out of the kingdom of God, but it doesn't really build you up in Christ. It doesn't draw you closer to Him. It really doesn't edify. How do I know concerning a certain practice or certain thing if I can do it and still walk with the Lord? Well, let's not try to discern if it's right or wrong. Let me ask you, is the goal of your life to be conformed into the image of Jesus? Is that your heart's desire? Then as we look at the issues of life, let's ask, does it impede my walk with the Lord? Does it slow me down? Would I be apt to find Jesus participating with me? Can it bring me under its power? Could it get such a hold on me as to enslave me and rob me of my liberty? Does it build me up in Jesus? Does it make me more like Him? Be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like Him. If that's your prayer and your desire, then these things will become the measure as to your participation in them. Whether you do or don't will determine whether or not it furthers your likeness to Jesus or draws you away. Father, we ask your help. You know that in our hearts we desire to run this race and win. And so help us, Lord, to resist, if necessary, unto blood in our struggle against sin. Help us, Lord, to shed all of those things that would impede our running the race to win. Help us to lay aside every weight. And Lord, you know our hearts better than we know ourselves. You've searched us. You know us. You know everything about us. You know more about us than we know about ourselves. You have knowledge of us that we don't have. And so we ask you, Lord, to search us and to know our hearts and to try us and know our thoughts. Show us those things, Lord, that would hinder our running the race. Show us those things, Lord, that would bring us under their power or influence. Show us those things, Lord, that would tear down rather than build up Christ in us. And may we thus, Lord, truly reflect our Lord Jesus Christ to the world in which we live. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I would encourage you to excellency in the race. Give it all you've got. A lot of people running, but only one's going to win the prize. So run that you might obtain. Give it everything. Become everything God wants you to be. Don't become encumbered or entangled in those things that are going to hinder your progress towards that full maturity in Christ Jesus. When that is your goal, to be complete in him, then you have total freedom, because with Paul you can say, all things are lawful for me. I don't have any restrictions. All things are lawful. Total freedom. What glory it is. I've been set free. I love my freedom. A lot of things I used to want to do, I don't want to do anymore. I don't need to do them anymore. I've been set free. Now my one desire is to be conformed into his image, and I will be satisfied, as the psalmist said, when I awake in his likeness. The one driving compassion of my heart to be like Jesus. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord just reveal to you those things that might be hindering the work that he's desiring to do in your life. Let him put the finger on those things that are holding you back, weighting you down, keeping you in bondage. And then ask him and he'll set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you can have that glorious freedom in Christ.